Hey everyone, Attorney Jerry Bosch here with Bosch Law Firm and WorkCompExperts.com. For almost 30 years, we've represented Minnesotans just like you all over the great state of Minnesota to guarantee they've been treated fairly and with respect when they've suffered a work-related injury. A work injury can change your life in an instant. You need someone on your side who can help you focus on getting back on your feet and getting paid while you do. You may be entitled to medical benefits, wage loss benefits, job placement, retraining, and payment for permanent disability. To make sure you are being paid all the work comp benefits you're entitled to, please call the attorneys at Bosch Law Firm. The call is always free, and there's never a fee unless we recover benefits on your behalf. Call 651-333-8300, Bosch Law Firm, or visit us at WorkCompExperts.com.
Thanks a lot for having me. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on the show, Steve. It should be a good one.
Thanks for having me, Steven.
Double S, anytime, man.
Christopher Mandor Russo here. You are listening to Stephen Strom on TalkNorth.com.
Always passionate, always fiery. You're listening to the Strom Sports Show. Take it away, Stephen.
And welcome aboard here. This is the Strom Sports Show, episode 133 on the great TalkNorth.com. Stephen Strom here at SSTROM underscore on Twitter. Welcome aboard. Ken Rosenthal will join us in just a bit here. Baseball is around the corner. Ken, you know him. He is an MLB Fox reporter, senior writer at The Athletic. He's always in the dugout doing the reporting for the Fox Sports baseball game, usually the game of the week. So he will join me in just a bit here. Very excited to get into a plethora of topics with him. Some free agency, some of the rules that's going to be going into 2021, the agreement between the owners and the players. And we also touch up on a subject that we're going to start on today. And I just wanted to highlight really quickly on the life of Pedro Gomez, because this really jolted me and I think the entire country when you're watching the Super Bowl. And congratulations to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Tom Brady had a hell of a time, as you saw on Twitter. He had to be carried off of the boat parade that they did in Tampa. But nonetheless, we're watching the Super Bowl, and I get an alert on my phone. And it says Pedro Gomez passes away at the age of 58. And it was jolting. Like, I don't know how else to say it. It just caught me in my tracks. I'm watching the game where I'm with some people, and I see this text, and I'm just like, what? Pedro Gomez? And I did want to just highlight his career because he's had a phenomenal career. I don't even know where to start. He's covered baseball for 30 years, but he was one of those journalists and reporters that I grew up on. Like, I'm 23 years old. So when I remember seeing Pedro Gomez, as soon you know how like when you listen to a song, you could take your mind to the place you where that song, you know, reminds you of or what time or, you know, if you listen to this song in sixth grade, it takes you back even if you're 30 years old. When I see Pedro Gomez, I just think spring training. Like that's always because he was a reporter in Arizona. So for the Cactus League, he would come on and he would outline spring training. And that was one of the guys that I resembled to baseball. So this really just got me. And Pedro Gomez was Barry Bonds' guy. Now, me and Ken talk about this, and I didn't say it or at least phrase it correctly because Ken didn't necessarily agree that Pedro Gomez was Barry Bonds' guy. Apparently, Ken wanted to basically set the record straight that Pedro was assigned the assignment that Barry Bonds was chasing Hank Aaron's home run record. But he wasn't necessarily Barry Bonds' guy because that more sounds like he was biased towards Bonds. No, I wasn't really trying to resemble it that way. Pedro Gomez was one of those reporters that wasn't fearful of going at guys, and he didn't do it rarely, and he was very bipartisan, which is how a reporter in journalism should be. But it's not like that anymore. And Pedro Gomez is definitely one of those guys that you do have to give a lot of kudos to. And I also want to touch up on some of the heritage stuff that he was so connected with his roots from Cuba. He grew up in Miami, and I'm a huge Dan Le Batard fan. So I listened to Le Batard on Monday, and he was very emotional because Pedro Gomez sort of paved the way for Cubans, especially being from Miami, and so is Dan Le Batard. You know, he was very connected, and I watched a little clip of when Pedro Gomez was assigned to go to the Rays game that was being played in Cuba, and there was a feature on him. Scott Van Pelt had him on where, you know, Pedro Gomez's dad and brother fled from Cuba. So when Pedro went to Cuba to cover that Rays game. He brought both of their ashes. He brought his father's and his brother's ashes and spread them when he got there. And it was so emotional for him. And again, you have certain guys that are just reporters. Like, they're just solid reporters. And then you have guys that go beyond that. And I've come across different media members and different journalists that, yes, they're just journalists, you know? They're nothing more, nothing less. But some other guys are bigger than that. And I felt like Pedro Gomez to Cubans was bigger than that. And I just think every article that I've read that have personally known Pedro Gomez doesn't have one bad thing to say. They wouldn't have had one bad thing to say on Saturday or Friday, because we know how Des, you know, oh, he's the perfect human. They would have said that before. That's every article that I have read. So I just wanted to highlight his career, and it really jolted me. Like, it really kind of, it was like, damn, like 58 years old, and we have no idea what the cause of death was. But I just wanted to send my best condolences and thoughts and prayers to the Gomez family. By the way, his son is in the Red Sox system, so I'm definitely now going to even keep a closer eye on that as well. So I don't know, it's hard to transition into the next subject when you talk about someone's death, but I just wanted to give my thoughts and prayers to the Gomez family. The second thing I want to get into is Britt Reid, who was involved in an accident that injured two children. Now, Jim Suhan wrote an article, my boss, about nepotism in sports. And Andy Reid, that's Andy Reid's dad, Britt Reid, and he was a linebackers coach for the Chiefs. Now, they have now removed him from the organization. But this is a tough topic, because I read Jim's article and I said, wow, like, you know, you're right. Nepotism, and he's bringing out, and look at, you know, Mike Zimmer and Adam Zimmer bringing him in. And sometimes you ask yourself, well, if his last name wasn't Reed, would he be in the position that he's in? And that's nepotism. I mean, that is just life sometimes. That's life, especially in sports media. And I just think in general life, but because I'm in the sports media industry, it feels a lot more like nepotism occurs. But this is an interesting topic, because there's a lot of people that are saying, well, Andy Reid's doing him a disservice. This is nepotism at its finest. And I, like, this is where you're torn, because I just want to give both sides. I get where people are saying. I 100% get it. I think 9 out of 10 people that had the history, and this wasn't the first violation that Britt Reid has had. He has had a history. He was sentenced to jail in 2007 for an incident where he pointed a gun at a driver in a road rage dispute. A judge sentenced him to 23 months in prison and 5 years probation on firearms and drug charges. So this isn't his first offense. And I think with the climate that everyone has sort of moved to and sort of realized, I don't care if you're white, I don't care if you're black, I don't care if you're Hispanic. If you have those violations on your record, you're not going to get a job at that position unless your last name is Reed. And that's where I understand that argument. Now, on the other hand, if you are Andy Reid, and if you don't know about Andy Reid's children, his son, Garrett Reid, passed away in 2012 after an accidental overdose of heroin. So obviously, Andy Reid has lost a son to drugs, to something that he couldn't necessarily control. Andy Reid is looking at this situation and saying, my son probably won't get a job anywhere else, and I'd rather him under my wing than not under someone else's watch. So in a way, Andy Reid is in a tough situation where he's like, listen, I just lost my son, Garrett. My son, Britt, has been in trouble. What am I supposed to do here? Am I supposed to just let him walk and not know what's going to happen and possibly lose another son? And I don't know how deep the drug addiction goes, but I know that it's in the Reid family. He's disgusted. He's been open about it. So for Andy Reid, you're sitting here and you're thinking, all right, which way? There's two roads. There's two roads you can go down. You can go down the, I'm going to just disown my son here and he can go do whatever he wants. He's gotten in some trouble. Let him go. Or am I going to take him under my wing? And we know that football is the ultimate disciplinary sport. And sometimes you need discipline in life. There's so many bad eggs growing up that when you play football or just a sport in general, it can reel you back in and it can discipline. You can change your life. We've seen how much sports can change someone's life. And football is the ultimate disciplinary sport. You're up at 6 a.m. You're following protocols. You're following your head coach. You have a strict schedule. So I understand where people are coming from where, oh, nepotism. Oh, well, listen, Britt Reid is gone now. Like, he's gone. He's not part of the organization anymore. And if something were to happen to him, what would be your reaction? Would you say, oh, well, this is what happened. You know, you're probably going to say, wow, like Andy Reid maybe should have kept him around. Maybe Andy Reid should have given him another chance. So, it's such a difficult topic. So I don't know what the right answer is, but I just want people to understand both sides of it and put yourself in the shoes of Andy Reid as a father that lost one of his sons and doesn't want the same thing to happen again. All I ask is try to put yourself in the shoes of Andy Reid, and you can also put yourselves in the shoes of the normal person that's probably thinking, without that last name, he's 100% not back in the NFL. So that's all I wanted to really touch up on. Just see both sides here. Understand from Andy Reid's standpoint, and I understand from the people's standpoint, but I don't know what the right answer is. I just wanted to give my thoughts and my reaction to what has happened over this last week, and prayer to also the family that was involved with the accident. Last thing I want to get into before we get into Ken, and we'll sort of outline it in our interview, but the MLBPA and the union, they have gotten together. They have agreed on the health and safety protocols. Now, this is one topic that the MLBPA and the union have been able to agree on. We know how much turmoil and how disgruntled these two are, and they can't agree on a universal DH. But when it comes to the health and safety protocols, they sort of have put their egos aside and been like, okay, like, this is what we're going to do. We agree with this. We agree with that. They did the same thing last year. That was the most easy conversation they had, was figuring out the health and safety protocols. And it was the easiest conversation that they had this time around, the health and safety protocols. But we did figure out some of the rules that were going to be implemented into the 2021 season. And they did take a similar route to last year. So, number one, the 7-inning doubleheaders, which I like, are going to be back. This is easy. I think this is an easy answer. You're going to have games that are going to be canceled. You see what's going on with the Wild right now. You see what's going on in sports. You have to be able to plan ahead just in case there are cancellations. So the 7-inning doubleheader is back, which I love. The universal DH rule is not back. They are not bringing that back. But I did talk to Bob Nightingale, and me and him have a pretty good relationship. He'll text me back. He told me that they can decide on the universal DH a day before, like a night before the season. I don't think that's going to happen because they already have come out and said, we're not going to do it, but they could renegotiate. Don't expect it to happen. Universal DH is not going to be back, as far as I'm concerned, for this 2021 year. 26-man rosters will expand to 28 on September 1st. There's going to be a 5-man taxi squad again, just because of the COVID stuff. You get someone that test positive, you're going to have someone that's ready to go on your taxi squad. There is a potential to play some or all of postseason at neutral sites. I hope that doesn't happen. It takes away from the flavor and the excitement from an atmosphere like Atlanta, or, you know, like a LA or a New York Yankee. Like that, the crowds in the playoffs are different. Like it is completely different. And hopefully by that time, we are close to 100% of capacity. I don't know where we're going to be at that point, but I think with the vaccine rolling in, that could possibly happen. Some of these guidelines are extremely strict, by the way, just for reporting for spring training. 5-day at-home quarantine prior to spring training. You have to quarantine at home during spring training. Outdoor physical exercise, purchasing groceries, and takeout meals are among the permitted activities. Testing at least every other day. We understand that. But two things on this. Number one, they're starting to wear this contact tracing device, which I love. I think it's a great idea. The NBA adopted it, and then the NFL started to do it. 100% necessary. We love that. So all that, like, I'm in agreement with. There's one rule, though. There's one thing that does not sit well with me, and that is the extra inning rule. If you didn't know, or you don't know what the extra inning rule is, if it is tied up after the 9th inning, the away team that's coming up has a guy at second base just to start the inning with no outs. And you play. And then at the bottom of the 9th, the home team gets to put someone on second base. They go up to bat, and it's play. I hate this rule. I don't understand. 60 games, I get it. We're trying something new. But it's like the four-point play in basketball that people are trying to push. It's like the shootout in the NHL. It doesn't work. Like, that doesn't... You can be tied up 2-2, and the team that wasn't better than the other team can win. Like, I just hate the rule. In 162 games, you don't do that. Like, I don't like the rule. You can literally sacrifice bunt and sacrifice fly, and you win the game. Like, you win. If you're going to put someone at second base, at least counter it where the team coming up has to start with an out. I don't, I am not for it. And we'll get into it with Ken, and Ken will give his side. But I am not for it, and I'm more surprised that Major League Baseball decided to go with the universal, decided to go with the extra inning rule over the universal DH. Like, if it was one or the other, I would have easily thought the universal DH would be the go, and I thought that the extra inning rule would be thrown in the garbage. But it was the other way around, and that's baseball. Like, I don't, they are, it's just complex. Certain things you're just kind of baffled about. You're like, wait. This makes sense, and you're not doing it, and then this doesn't make sense, and you are doing it. But that's kind of where we're at with baseball right now. Nonetheless, spring training is around the corner. Pitchers and catchers report. I'm very excited about the Minnesota Twins. Really nice job. We'll get into that with Ken as well. Nelson Cruz, Alex Colome, and Simmons headed to Minnesota. Very excited about the season. Let's not waste any more of your time. Ken Rosenthal of The Athletic, Fox Sports. He's coming up next here on the Strom Sports Show. All right, you know before Ken, I do have to tell you that support for the Strom Sports Show is brought to you by Manscaped, who is the best in men's below-the-waist grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. They obsess over their technology development to provide you the best tools for your grooming experience. I've told you about it last month. We had some orders. Very happy that you guys are ordering from there. I told you it can do some damage with the smell. I love it. I still use it. I'm going to have to actually order a new kit. The package is beautiful. They give you a whole... The marketing is tremendous. You know, they give a nice slogan. They make you feel special. You get 20% off and free shipping with the code STROM, STROM, at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at Manscaped, and use the code STROM. Here's Ken Rosenthal. All right, and the great Ken Rosenthal joins us now on the Strom Sports Show. He's an MLB senior writer at The Athletic and reporter at Fox. It's a pleasure to have him on, and we know how busy he is, especially this time of the year. We just got an agreement between the owners and the players, so it's all gas, no brakes. Ken, Steven Strom here. How is everything?
Everything's fine, Steven. Thank you.
Thank you for joining me today. And we have the recent news of the MLBPA and the owners coming to an agreement on the health and safety protocols. I guess my first question for you, because I watched you yesterday on MLB Network, is how much do you think the rules would have changed if the season was in fact delayed a month like the owners were hoping for?
I don't know that they would have changed a whole lot. Certainly, if the environment improves, that enables them to be more flexible with some of the more rigid restrictions. So let's say they delayed a month and players all got vaccinated, which was part of the idea of delaying, and the situation in the country improved with the virus overall, which we certainly cannot be assured of, then yes, it might have been a different picture, but that didn't happen. So they were left with going into Florida and Arizona, where the infection rates remain high, and they put stringent protocols in place. That said, again, if things do improve, and hopefully they will improve over time, then at that point, they have the ability to relax the protocols, and I expect that will happen.
Were you surprised by how strict they were? Because when I first read them, I'm like, oh my God, like they can't go indoor dining. Were you surprised with how strict these rules were at this time?
No. Actually, I felt they should be strict because of the difficulty in staying healthy when you're in places where the virus is kind of raging and people are not necessarily paying as close attention to it as you might be as a player or as a coach or a staff member. So in my view, they're appropriate. And I was someone who advocated for the delay. I thought it was best for everyone involved, best for the health and safety of everyone involved. But if you're not going to do the delay, which I understand the reasons why they don't want to, I don't agree with them, but I understand them, then you need to put some measures in place.
All right, so the seven-inning doubleheader is back along with the extra inning rule, and we'll get into those in just a second here. But before, there's a lot of people asking me why the universal DH wasn't changed permanently. Can you sort of break down, honestly for me too, can you break down the specifics of why the two parties just can't seem to agree on the universal DH and what kind of stands in their way?
What stands in their way is economics. And the union will argue with some justification that the universal DH is a health and safety issue, that you don't want pitchers hitting, that especially now when you're ramping up from 60 to 162 games, pitchers can get hurt for a variety of reasons anyway. Why have them risk injury on the bases or in the box, something along those lines? That's the union's position. And they further contend correctly that the clubs want this, that the universal DH was well received last year and it's the direction the game is going, and it's something that simply should be done. MLB counters by saying, well, it's an economic gain for the union because the DHs who are signed would probably be making better money than your normal player or your 26th man on the roster. So they want something back. Now, they asked for expanded playoffs. In my view, that's not a fair trade for the union. In most everyone's view, that's not a fair trade. But their point is, hey, we want something back. Now, Joel Sherman of the New York Post wrote a really good column yesterday saying this is a health and safety issue and it simply should be adopted, period. I agree with that, but both sides, both the union and the MLB side, seem to prioritize health and safety when it's convenient for them. MLB wanted a month delay because of health and safety reasons, as well as economic reasons. The parks might be fuller in May than they would be in April anyway. And the union said, no, we're good. We'd like to start on time. So to me, if you're prioritizing health and safety, then prioritize health and safety. And I'm not sure either side is completely willing to do that.
Yeah, I think we've also discovered, Ken, that there's sometimes COVID, what's the word I'm looking for? COVID convenient, right? Coney, when it makes sense, I'm going to use it. When it's not, you know what I'm saying? So it's funny to see some of the rules being changed because of COVID and then not because of COVID. And I guess this was being one of them. The next thing I wanted to get into was the extra inning rule. It's sort of a two-part question I want to get into. Number one, were you surprised that the Major League Baseball adopted this again for 162 games? And do you like this rule? Because I know there's a lot of people that have complained about it, including myself. I think it's a little absurd to do it over 162 games. I get for a 60-game slate. So my question to you is, were you surprised that they adopted it for 162 games? And do you actually like the rule going into extra innings?
Not at all surprised that they kept it because it was fairly well received last year. And initially, Steve, I must admit, I did not like it. I'm the kind of person who believes that the 162-game grind is a true test of every team. And part of that grind involves when you have an 18-inning game, what's the depth of your organization?
Sure.
Can you replace your pitching? How are you going to survive it? And that is all well and good. And I still have that part of me that believes that. But the other side of that, again, is health. And if you want to put your players in the best position to stay healthy, I don't know that playing 18 games and summoning guys from the minors and doing all these things is the wisest thing to do. So from that perspective, I understood it. And then to see this actually in practice last year, I thought it was kind of exciting. And
okay.
It was strategic. It made the games interesting. And I had no problem with it. So I'm not surprised they did it. And I have no problem with the fact that they did it.
We're here with Ken Rosenthal. We got two more left for you, Ken. I really appreciate you carving out some time for me again today. This is a Minnesota-based podcast, so I did want to touch up on the Twins. Nothing crazy, but in the offseason, they just announced Nelson Cruz officially re-signing with the team, signed Alex Colome and then Simmons in a trade. What's your kind of feel of the Twins? We know the AL Central now. I think a lot of people are starting to lean towards the Chicago White Sox, but where do you see the Twins stand as of right now going into 2021?
They'll be good, and they're not done yet. I expect them to get more pitching, perhaps another reliever. And they've lost quite a bit out of that bullpen, but Colome helps, and certainly Simmons helps the defense. And with Cruz back, the offense will be good. I sort of like where they are still.
Okay.
Would like to see them maybe get one more starter, one more reliever, but you can't have it all. The White Sox are going to be good. There's no question about it. The things that they've done solidify the roster, and Hendricks and Lynn and Eaton to some extent, but the Twins are the perennial power and they're not going anywhere. So I expect them to be quite competitive and the season in Minnesota to be quite compelling.
Quick follow-up. Any feel on Jake Odorizzi, kind of gauging where he's headed? Do you have sort of a feel on where possibly we could see Jake Odorizzi? Because I'm sure the Twins would like to bring him back.
I don't have a feel. And that's actually one of the things I've been looking into today, trying to figure out where he might be going. Twins would be an obvious fit. There are other obvious fits, other teams that still need starting pitching. It's the usual question. Is he worth, or do you believe he's worth, what he is seeking in the market? Yep. And that, of course, is why he still lingers out there. But no team has found that right match, and he has not found that match.
Last one for you. So I'm watching the Super Bowl, and I'm sure you did as you were as well, and you get this news that Pedro Gomez, ESPN baseball reporter, passes away at the age of 58. And just for me, I'm 23 years old. I host a millennial podcast on this network. And for my memory, I remember seeing Pedro constantly on ESPN. Whenever I saw him on TV, it's like, okay, spring training is back. And he was one of Barry Bonds' guys. I just wanted you to sort of share to the audience your thoughts and just maybe some stories on Pedro Gomez and how much that he meant to baseball.
Well, first of all, Stephen, I'm going to correct you a little bit. He wasn't Barry Bonds' guy. He was the ESPN reporter assigned to cover Barry Bonds in the time when he was chasing the record. And it's a huge difference between being Barry Bonds' guy and the guy who covered him. And the one reason Pedro is so respected in the industry is because he covered that as a journalist should. Not as a fan, not as someone looking to take Bonds down, but someone who was simply chronicling it and covering it as fairly and as objectively as he possibly could. Kind of made his reputation through that in many ways, at least on a national scale. Now, Pedro and I are the same age. We kind of came up together. We kind of share a similar sensibility about the way the job should be done. And I would say we were friendly, not close necessarily, because we didn't live in the same area. We never worked together, but we certainly were friendly. We saw each other at parks throughout our careers, and he was someone I always just admired and really loved, because he's everything that you've read about those last few days. Just a shining light, a guy who always was smiling, a guy who loved the game, a guy who did the job at an extremely high level for a long time. And it's a huge blow to lose him. It's been crushing to all of us who knew him, and I still can't believe it, to be perfectly honest with you, Steve. It's just hard to imagine that this guy who was healthy last week was talking to people and being Pedro Gomez, just the normal guy, suddenly passes away. It's just really difficult to accept.
Best condolences and prayers to the Gomez family. And Ken, I hate to end on a sort of a sour note, but I do appreciate you carving out some time for me today. Make sure to follow Ken on Twitter at Ken_Rosenthal. Catch him on Fox. He's on MLB Network. I really appreciate it again. And just a fantastic tribute for Pedro Gomez. Thanks again, Ken. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Stephen. All the best.
All right. Ken Rosenthal, everybody. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Always appreciate it. I always ask you this one thing, just one favor. Please go to Apple Podcasts, subscribe, rate, review Strom Sports Show. It helps me. It helps the network. Helps me continue to get these guests for you guys. Listen, I'm Steven Strom. I'm a no name, and I'm getting guys like Ken Rosenthal. I'm eternally grateful for you guys and for the network. This shouldn't be happening, you know, but you guys support it. You guys listen. And as long as you keep subscribing, rating, and reviewing, I'm going to continue to outkick my coverage. Like, that's what I'm going to do for you guys. So I appreciate it if you were able to do that. Have a fantastic rest of your weekend as we go full-fledged, all gas, no brakes, into baseball season and the Minnesota Twins. Be good, everybody.